You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Well, we don't get the theme song this week, Steven?
Thank
you. I was like, whoa.
Nobody knows where they might end up.
Bam.
Bing is for doing. Welcome back to another episode of the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Jason J. Card in the hot seat. We are back. Hello, my beautiful co-host.
Hi.
Hello, Jason and viewers at home. It feels like it's been forever.
Forever,
right? I know. I'm
I
so glad
what
we're
you guys
back.
Look like.
No, never. You guys are so beautiful. I'm so glad to be back. And this episode was amazing,
right? It was a perfect way to come back from a hiatus from Grey's. They said that the final four episodes of Grey's Anatomy of season 9 are going to be life-changing. And I was kind of skeptical. I was like, nah, you know, this season's kind of But tonight was everything and more.
I'm so excited.
Man, I had a hard time processing. I still don't think I'm there mentally realized everything that went on.
Yeah. It was a jam-packed episode.
Mm-hmm. Jam-packed.
People were dying. People flying around the hospital. The
fingers.
CDC was there.
Ching, ching, ching,
blood, tears. Yeah. Someone, you know, made a realization with a friend that, you know, you're not a good guy. All kinds of stuff.
Punching, and love, kissing, everything in this episode.
Yes, it was epic. And we have a special guest that's going to be calling in from tonight's episode. It's going to be really, really cool. Miss Jennifer Basey, Daytime Emmy Award-winning actress. So excited for that. She is featured in tonight's episode. So let's get into it, peeps. Grey's Anatomy Season 9, Episode 21,
wow.
Sleeping Monster.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Bailey storyline is just so heavy. Last episode, we got a glimpse of what was to come for this episode, and they really let us have it. Bailey is under investigation for possibly infecting some patients that have died.
I know. How did they let us go for 2 weeks just hanging on that? I just cannot believe they did that to us.
But what's really cool is how they use Bailey as the villain.
Mm.
Normally, Bailey's never the villain.
I don't think she was the villain. She was the pariah. She was the one we felt bad for. I mean, they were all excluding her. She was quarantined. Mm. They literally wouldn't even talk to her or give her updates on her patients.
Yeah.
It felt, you know, if you've ever been treated like that before, you know how much that sucks. And professionally, these people who are supposed to be her confidants, people she's trained over the last 5 years, you know, in their world, just pretty much throwing her under the bus, pulling her out again and throwing her again, and treating her like she's not a human being. And Bailey is one of the most human, accessible, real, organic people on Grey's.
And that's what made it so good, because she was the person you would least expect to be thrown under the bus and be treated like, don't talk to Bailey, don't touch Bailey, don't go near Bailey, don't tell Bailey what's going on in the hospital. So it was kind of like they played on that a little bit, which made it interesting, because when we see her vulnerable side, it's kind of fun. I mean, not in a fun way, but you know what I mean. Like, you get to see her do a different kind of acting and emotion. I really like Bailey.
I don't want to interrupt you guys, but we seem to have a special caller. Hello, Jennifer. Yes. You're on the line with the Grey's Anatomy AfterBuzz TV After Show.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you guys? And please forgive me for not being there in person, but the flu, this is my first kind of day that I've been walking around since last Friday.
I know, my gosh. Well, we don't want another infection situation on our hands, so we are more than forgiving.
Wow, Julie.
We are glad that you called in, though. We're really incredibly honored. Your role on Grace Tonight was so powerful.
Yes.
Oh, wow. What a great show. Isn't that, the show is such an incredible show.
Incredible.
I love the entire show and I love everybody on it. I had the best time. I mean, the best. What a group of people.
Now, Jennifer, when you, are you a fan of Grey's Anatomy before being on the show?
You know what? I have not watched Grey's Anatomy until recently.
What?
I'm not a TV watcher, but I've got to tell you that I was, when I got the job, I started watching it, and I was brought to tears. I was weeping, absolutely weeping.
Yes.
There was an episode where a man was donating his body parts to a child, and blah, 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 and they were pulling the plug on him and going to harvest his body parts, and his mother kept saying, please don't do this. And he said, Mother, I've made up my mind. She said, please don't. And then he gave all his body parts to Johnny. I was buckets of tears pouring down in my living room.
You were inconsolable.
Well, you were inconsolable in tonight's episode as you played the grandma, Nancy Dawson, on this episode. What kind of preparation did you take for being on this part of the show?
What kind of preparations did I for the audition or preparing just
for the character,
or
getting into the character for the scene?
The situation, it just becomes, as an actor, it's very real for me. In other words, when I work on it, I put myself in the position of the character until I'm kind of that character. And that's my son in a coma, and he's going to wake up. Is he dying? And then I had no idea that my daughter-in-law, after her surgeries, was going to die. And this was a very, very bad car crash. So how you prepare? I mean, if I have to be crying at the top of a scene, which wasn't. Yes, there is one scene coming up in the next couple.
Teaser, spoiler alert.
If you have to start before you speak to anybody, I usually go to, I just had to put a cat to sleep, and I go, I picture him on the table, and they're giving him an injection.
I'm going to cry right now. Oh, my gosh.
Then the tears start pouring, and then I enter the scene. But if I'm in the middle of the scene to cry, and I'm looking at my son in a coma, I just, I believe it's like my son in a coma.
Right.
And, it's like,
wow.
And the tears just come,
You were so powerful tonight in all your scenes. I always wonder, I'm not a crier, I'm not that emotional, so they probably would never cast me on Grey's, but I always marvel at actors that are able to cry and by the way, Jennifer, you have a pretty cry. You do not have an ugly cry. Your cry is very beautiful.
There is a difference.
Definitely.
It's one of the nicest compliments I've ever had.
Your cry is so beautiful, Jennifer. God.
So you got to work with...
And I had no makeup on. I went to the audition with absolutely no makeup on and my hair all matted down. And, I said, I'm playing a grandma and I've just got on a plane. My whole family has been in a car accident. I certainly wouldn't arrive in heavy makeup if I've been crying all the way in on a plane.
Very
and I don't think she's the kind of woman. So when I auditioned, I told them I didn't have any makeup on. And they all went, yeah, that makes sense. So when I got to the first day to start shooting, and there was a hairdresser from all my children, which I've been on and off for 30 some years. And the makeup woman, was from all my children before it went off the air. And she said, oh, my God, I get to make you up. I said, no, I don't think so. And that's why. I said, I don't think they want me in any makeup. And so she called and said, oh, my God, they don't. They don't want any makeup on you. I said, I know.
Oh wow. God.
So I do all the episodes with absolutely no makeup.
And that beautiful pixie cut. You still look flawless, though. I don't believe it.
That's commitment to the character.
And when I tried on the clothes that they were putting me in, the costume designer, who is everybody on that show, I've got to tell you, I mean, I think the producer, Ms. Rhymes, really, really, really must be a genius because I didn't meet one difficult person. Everybody was adorable. She put together such a great team. But the costume designer and I fell madly in love. We were laughing so hard. And she put me in this Midwestern grandma clothes. Aww. And I said, you know, Mimi, I wouldn't throw the garbage out in these clothes.
Boom, there you go. You're like, I need some Jimmy Choo, some Louboutins, and some Louis Vuitton.
That's awesome.
Darling, exactly. With heavy red lipstick.
Heavy red lipstick. Yeah. Yes, God, exactly. Honey.
So how was it meeting Shonda Rhimes for the first time?
Well, you know, we sat around the table, Reed. I never got to go up and shake her hand or anything.
She's like Oprah.
But I did send her a note, and I sent her a message through the costume department, which made her laugh. And she said, tell her I love her.
Oh, so, that's so sweet.
At least I made her laugh. And, you know, Kevin McKidd directs the next episode, yep. And he stars in it. And he is just what a gem of a human being. I mean, he's just a very, very delightful man.
Yes, he is.
And my little grandson is so adorable. I cannot tell you.
Yeah, he looks like a really great actor.
We
like...
just had a great time. Adorable little actor, and his mother is not a stage mom.
Oh, that's good.
You know, they're just really nice, normal
all the
people.
Drama.
You know,
mom's not a stage mom. You know, it's really good.
So, Kevin McKidd, as a director, does he have an American accent or his original accent?
He's Scottish.
No, he doesn't have a Scottish accent. We talked about Scotland. He's going off there at the end of May, I think. No, he's American, and it was a hard episode for him because he was heavy in the episode as an actor.
He was.
Mm. But he also directed it. You know, so it was hard. I think he was at the end, he said he was really, really tired. Oh. I mean, really tired.
Well, you're...
And so, and I could understand that because, you know, some of the calls you have to get up at like 4:30 and... You know, that's called the crack of dawn players, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wow, we're looking at a stunning, absolutely stunning picture of you here on the video screen. You are a beauty queen, ageless beauty. The picture we have is...
Oh, I love you.
I know, most women do. Well, just kidding.
I did a movie about 2 years ago with no makeup again, and I had a false eye in my head. The woman was... dying of inoperable brain cancer, and they had misdiagnosed her for many, many years. And it was a short film. And the reason I'm bringing it up is we only got into one festival here in this country because we had no idea how political all the festivals are here. You know, you have to really know somebody. And
right.
Anyway, the girl played my daughter and co-starred with me and produced and co-wrote it. Met the head of the Milan Film Festival about 3 months ago. He said, submit your film to the festival. I'll make sure they run it and look at it.
Right.
Ooh. And we just kept it into the Milan Film Festival, one of nine short films.
Yay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And at Sundance last year, they had 11,600 submissions mm-hmm. in short films. So you can imagine how many thousands of submissions. So we are so honored. So I'm taking off on the 8th of May for 10 days to go to the Milan Film Festival.
Wow, congratulations.
Wow,
That's awesome.
So how many episodes are we going to be seeing you on Grace?
I saw a tweet that you got pushed to three.
Episodes.
What?
Next week I've got a lot to do.
I hope you're not like going to be a crazy grandma that just goes like, you know, AWOL in the hospital because of your family's dying. Because I won't be able to sleep anymore.
I'd be excited if I saw her go crazy.
Like
on the...
Jennifer Basie killed everyone on Grey's. The grandma killed everybody.
I love it because there's some really, really amazing twists coming up. You'll be surprised, and it's heart-rending, but there are some surprises.
Heart-rending. We love to hear heart-rending.
That's exciting.
That's the magic of Grey's.
It is.
Lots of tears.
Julie, it's right up your alley. Lots of tears.
There's lots of tears with me every day.
We call her weepy. I know. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for calling in. We are so excited to talk to you. We cannot wait to see what's next for you on Grey's. We are like diehard Grey's Anatomy fanatics, so anyone that's a friend of Grey's is a friend of ours.
Well, I'm definitely a friend, and I'll be in New York on May 2nd, but if you want to talk after the May 2nd episode, let me know from Jessica, and I'll give you a ring from New York, and we'll talk.
There we go. Yes. We'll chat it up.
Tell all your friends your Twitter, because I know that you tweet, and I actually followed you today.
I did, too.
It's really exciting. So tell everyone your Twitter and where they can find you.
Jennifer Bassey1 on Twitter.
Awesome.
Boom.
Bam.
You know what? I so admire you for embracing that. Mad props.
Because my mom's 56 and can't even like dial the a regular phone, let alone tweet.
My grandma has Twitter.
You know.
She is lovely and glamorous too.
Jennifer, thank you so much for calling in.
It's so great to talk to you. I hope you feel 100% better
by
Milan.
Thank you so much. And please, I really wanted to be there because my two friends who've done your show have loved being with all of you. And if I'd been well enough, you know, I would have been there with bells on. But I boy, this flu is not funny.
Not the business. We know. Not the business.
No, thank you.
Well, you're not going anywhere. Neither are we. So perhaps we'll make it happen one day.
Yeah. We'll have a supersized edition.
Share. Thank you so much.
Good night. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jennifer.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Yes. God, the night just gets better and better and better.
I have got to be that fabulous the rest of my life.
You will. You will.
I hope so.
You will.
Well, let's go back to that storyline. I mean, the kid thinks that his mom is feeling better.
Better, right.
Right?
And she was. She was.
Everything she was talking good. To her husband. She was telling a few jokes, talking to her son. They went down to the cafeteria.
To grab a nice bite to eat.
Well, she was telling jokes, and it was upsetting Jennifer's character, the grandmother, because it's not a laughing matter to her. You know, she just arrived on the scene. Her family is dying by the multiples. And so they go down to have a moment outside, and they're in the cafeteria when she starts to have a grandma, appears to be a grandma seizure.
Right. I mean, who would have thunk it that that would have happened?
I thought she was alive and gonna take care of the kid, and that you know maybe something was gonna happen to the husband. That's what I thought was gonna happen. But I guess bringing in the grandma kind of gave that twist that maybe
things
are gonna change.
Yeah,
but we'll talk about that in predictions.
Well, you know, another thing that I thought about tonight as we're watching the Grays was poop on the table. That was a running theme tonight. Which, and I'm sorry, ladies, but I've thought about that prior to Grays because my cousin is an OBGYN obstetrician. And I asked her, does that happen? And she said, yes. So when Christina and Meredith were talking about, you know,
will you be there for me?
And she's like, I can't see you poop on the table. I will never be able to look at you again. Our relationship and our friendship will be done. I thought, you know what? That would be me too. Like, Star, if you said, Jay, will you come into
that's a private matter. Like, I don't.
Room, and you poop on the table, right? I can look at you again.
Poop is my favorite word. I love to talk about poop all day long. So I love that they brought it up on the show in like a funny, like,
and they're doctors,
manner.
So it shouldn't be something.
It shouldn't be poop. It should be like
fecal.
I feel the exact opposite. I don't like that word. Don't say it. Don't want to hear. Actually, I have major anxiety about baby showers because women just want to share their horror stories about the nasty things that happen to their body when giving birth. And this just reminded me a little bit more of that. I feel Christina on that. Although she's a doctor.
Yeah.
I feel like she should be able to handle a little the table.
She could, but not when it comes from your bestie.
Ugh.
You know what
not
I mean?
When it comes,
not
yeah,
when it
no.
comes from your bestie. I mean, it really, and it's the whole act of that is just no.
Yeah, but I love that she kept it real. Christina always keeps it real. Like, I don't know about that. But
the reason that we found out this is Meredith wants to have a natural birth.
Okay, ladies, what does that mean? I'm sorry.
That means no epidural.
Just pain, just
pain,
pop it out.
Yep. Just the natural way. Because when people say when you do the epidural, you're giving drugs to your baby before it even is given, you know, is alive. Right. And so.
Yeah. Also, they say you don't experience it the same way, and not to get too graphic, but sometimes if they give you the epidural, then they will go ahead and induce before you're ready, and like, some crazy statistic, like 92% of babies in America are born between 9 and 5, Monday through Friday, and so it's just like taking yourselves out of the parameters of the medical industry and just having it as nature intended.
Okay. TMI. Thank God I'm a man. TMI. Ladies, I hats off to you guys. Cheers to that.
To all you beautiful ladies out there giving birth right now.
Naturally.
You keep popping them out naturally.
Naturally or not naturally. We support everyone. Yes.
Give me an epidural.
Hello? I'm saying, give me some crack. Anyways, but so Meredith.
I'm all just, about the, never mind.
It was just a nice, it was gross, but it was nice to hear them talk about something because it's so real and made them that much more endearing as friends, you know, and we're so in love with the Christina and Meredith friendship saga because it's so true and it's so consistent.
And it's the root of this show.
Yeah. It's what base Grays going forward.
Yeah. You know? I would say it's more about that than the relationship with McDreamy even.
Yeah. He's not even in this episode at all.
Yeah. And his hair wasn't that great this week. Look, getting back to Bailey. So Bailey's being questioned now by an examiner who for the life of me had the personality of a snail asking her questions about what happened in the OR. And this episode was so complex because you had that going on. They had the flashback to the whole surgery, what
that,
she did.
That part I love when they were like, who was scrubbing in with you? And she couldn't remember who and was helping her out.
Every time she remembered it, they'd show the person. Mm-hmm. And Bailey was narrating this one.
Right. Yes, at the very beginning and the ending of the show.
And Leah really, I lost respect for her because it was like she turned her back on Bailey so quickly and so adamantly. Mm.
Did you ever have respect for Leah, though? She's just been evil pretty much consistently.
But tonight it reared its ugly head.
She almost seemed like she was getting pleasure
right.
from telling Bailey she couldn't talk
exactly.
to her. Yeah.
And then, to add insult to injury and salt to the wound, she tells the chief, you know, Bailey did this, right? Bailey did it. She's in charge. She's in charge of this whole thing. She screwed up, didn't she?
She's probably still mad because Bailey ripped her new one last week. They thought it was her.
This Leah girl, she's got to go.
She will.
After Buzzers. Do you think Leah's got to go? She's the one bad apple. She's that one. She's the Sadie. Remember Sadie? Death and Die?
No, I don't remember Sadie at
Julie,
all.
Julie.
Tell me more about Sadie.
Sadie was Meredith's friend they went backpacking with.
Oh yes, my gosh, yes.
And she cheated her way through medical school.
Yes, she was
How
bad.
How the hell
she
you cheat your way through medical school?
And she's like, go ahead, remove my appendix.
Right. Leah's Sadie 2.0.
Oh my gosh.
2.0.
Well, that Bailey thing just like continued throughout the entire episode. And tragically, we find out the third patient did die.
Yep.
That's horrible. And, I cannot believe it.
Yeah, and so Richard blames it on Bailey, and she's standing there. She's heartbroken about it when she hears it. But then in the meeting with the snail guy, we find out it's true. Bailey does have staph infection.
A really bad strain of staph, an antibiotic-resistant strain of staph.
I don't think she was showing much symptoms, really. Maybe just a carrier?
I don't know.
I mean, they haven't gotten into that part of it.
Right.
They haven't shown it. They haven't, you know,
and I don't
really
think they're going
about
to.
It.
I don't think they're going to. Yeah. I think this is a wrap on that arc.
Mm-hmm.
And lighter news, though, we had a family that lost their fingers
at
a family reunion.
Yeah, yuck.
Playing, okay, so I was trying to listen to what happened in AfterBuzz. Please forgive me if I'm not 100% accurate, but they were playing tug-of-war.
With a clothesline, but then somehow out of left field, a trampoline was involved.
Yeah, I heard about the trampoline. That whole storyline was a little confusing, so if you can tweet us, we're live tweeting right now.
Let us know
really what happened with the family reunion and why they lost all their fingers. But the one character out of the whole family reunion that I loved was the journalist.
The journalist, the girl who was like trying to figure out what was going on.
She's like, the CDC is here. Ooh.
Maybe I hate that girl because it's like every girl I went to journalism school with.
Oh.
You know,
and probably a little
sources.
Bit like me in high school.
I loved her because...
I'm Kitty Couric.
Because she was on the money. She was like, you know, techniques. Okay, I'm going to listen. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to get people to reveal stuff. Sources. It was really
She was
good.
Like, a source told me, but then she slipped up a little bit and she was like an orderly. I meant a source. Told me about Bailey
right.
being the one. And
she's
so.
Like Gail Devers from Scream, you know, Courtney Cox. Totally like her. But yeah, that whole thing tonight really wasn't the meat of anything.
But no. Then there was a scene there whenever the girl's dad was blaming the crazy uncle who kept insisting that they have these family reunions. And the crazy uncle broke down and he's sort of like, well, this is my family. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. These
right.
people are my family. I'm just a crazy uncle. And to me, that was the most emotional part of tonight's episode.
Yeah, he seemed lonely. And
gosh, I felt so bad for him. And I'm
care.
Like, go to his dumb reunion.
Yeah, I have a crazy dumb uncle that does this stuff too. Poor guy. Love you.
But does he make you tug of war with a clothesline?
Oh, no.
Can we just get a regular rope?
We have to do, like, kick the can. I'm from New Mexico, so it's like, you know, real country. After Buzzers, go to iTunes and rate us and tell a friend. We are so glad to be back from the hiatus. Grays is a wonderful show, and we love you, After Buzzers. Give us 5 stars. Leave us comments. If there's something
Please.
That we don't know, which I don't think there is, but if there's something that we don't know about Grey's Anatomy that you know and you want to give us a 411, we'll be more than happy to shoot you out and give you a shout out on our next show. So rate us, tell a friend. iTunes, that's how we roll here at AfterBuzz TV. Keeps our beautiful lights on.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So tonight, there is also a real life situation intermingled with the show.
And that part of the show got a little...
By the wayside.
Yeah, like,
it was steamrolled. There were so many plots.
Yeah.
We haven't even begun to touch on the plots.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so tell us about the mom. You've done your research.
Okay, well, the mom, first of all, Shonda, I guess the crew of Grey's has reached out to people, have done their research, finding these, like, you know, really unique stories. Like a couple weeks ago, Kawasaki's with Sarah Chalk. Mm-hmm. And now with the McHenry family, back in 2003, they gave birth to a son who had some birth defects. And they had to perform a rare surgery immediately after birth in order to save this baby's life, because it would have brain damage or would have died. So what happened is, it was a heart surgery. They pierced a hole in the heart, saved the kid. There you go.
And that's the surgery that Yang did.
Right, with Kareb. And the parents were kind of apprehensive when the Grey's Anatomy team approached them, because, you know, this is very emotional for them. And when you want to do a story like this, you really have to do your homework. You mm-hmm. have to be accurate and on point to portray what really happened. They want to do it justice. So the parents have stated that they didn't, you know, at first they were kind of apprehensive because they were really intense. But the more they got to know the crew, they opened up, showed them pictures of the birth and the whole surgery and everything to make sure that it was authentic.
Wow.
So, and in tonight's show, the family was Black. But in real life, the family was white. And that's one of the things I love about Shonda Zetch, or in the writers of Grey's. They find a way to make it more accessible and real. It's like, okay, you know, let's have a Black family go through this.
Yeah, why not?
Or
they
an
can
Asian
cast
family.
However they want to cast.
Yeah.
They're just making sure they tell the story
correctly.
Correctly to honor the family that this actually happened to.
And the good news is that there is a real life, healthy 9-year-old boy out there
yeah.
who lived the story that we're seeing tonight.
Ian McDonough.
Yeah.
And where? Where is he from?
He's
Chicago?
From Oaklawn.
Oh, I thought you said Inadena.
I was like, it was Illinois.
Illinois. Oaklawn, Illinois. Sorry. Yes, you were right. It's suburb of Chicago in Illinois. Yeah. But he knows Roseanne Barr. But that was one of the things that were, because they're...
You're talking so fast, I can't even understand you.
I was watching
you.
Roseanne.
Got it. All right.
So yeah, I mean, we are finally getting to see those multiple patient arcs that people were wanting to see. I did not know this little boy would be around so long.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were gonna see like the long drawn out process of like one parent up, one parent down, one parent dying, one parent alive. Grandma is in the picture now. But more and more, Owen is falling incredibly in love with these kids. He's so attached.
He is, and that's going to take us back to the whole bitterness with Christina and him and the abortion. But getting back to the up and down of the parents, again, this has been a kind of a running thing on Grey's over the seasons with parents dying, kids being left alone. You know, I guess... the only way they can make this better is by having different ways for the parents to die, or have them die at different times, because there's no way they can make that more creative. I mean, Grey's has their go-to things that they like to use. Cancer, bowel obstructions, perf bowel, gallbladder, Whipple.
A seizure was very common on House, but on this show we don't see it as much.
And today there was a seizure.
Yeah.
It was sad.
And you talked about Owen being really attached to the kid. His face when Derek opens the elevator and the mom's died. And Owen has to deliver the news to the kid, and the way he did it was very, it was very paternal, but also really just soft and gentle, you know. And he was just like, "This is what happened," you know.
But the kid takes it so well.
And that's what shocked me.
I gotta go hold my grandma's hand.
That's cute. And that just brings out the, like, sensitive and cute side of him. Because the storyline is really hard for him, but it doesn't seem like he's going to break down yet. And there may be that moment where he does.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's probably just... he's a kid. He's just holding it in a little bit and just not showing his emotion because he's never dealt with that. How do you deal with that? So I think maybe he was more in shock
yeah.
than anything.
Right. You know, but getting back to Owen and Christina, you know, Christina says towards the end of the episode that she feels like she's losing Owen, and we'll talk about that a little bit more.
Let's talk about it now.
Okay.
She's losing Owen.
We had all kinds of relationship drama tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, like, several different couples had major things.
Well, okay, April and
okay.
Avery.
Yeah, I mean, this is big. We always
Matt.
Go into April's blaming Avery for her breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And Avery, in the most clutch line of the night, because he really was like, woe is me. For a long time, everybody's against me. 5 versus me, 6 versus me. Ugh, when are you going to learn that nobody feels sorry for you, Jackson?
Oh.
But he goes right up to April, and he's like, I am not going to feel bad about that relationship with you.
Deflowering you.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like, I'm not going to say sorry. That wasn't bad.
I'm sorry, Julie. Do you think that comes from him liking her, that he's not sorry because he has feelings for her, or he's not sorry because he's a douchebag?
No, I don't think it's a douchebag thing at all. I think it's one of those things, like, even after you break up with somebody, like, if you loved each other enough, you're glad that it happened. You're glad that you had the limited amount of time that you did together. And I think he's saying that he wouldn't trade that experience. He's not apologizing for it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that completely. Because when it comes down to it, Avery really is a nice guy, and he's trying to be a nice guy all the time. And they shared a moment, and he didn't lose his virginity, and he enjoyed it, and he enjoyed their relationship and loved her. So right. I'm definitely on the same page with you about that.
But then, like, out of nowhere, right when they have a moment, a little spark,
Matt comes back. And his great teeth.
Matt comes back, and it just seemed like immediately she was relieved, and that's what she'd been waiting on, for Matt to come back for her.
But do you... Okay, I didn't get that, though. I got that she was like, I'm in love with Avery.
Yes.
Matt's back. Damn it.
Okay, now I'm on your side.
She gave Matt a big hug of relief.
It was
an awkward hug of, like, relief, but like you.
I'll have to rewatch this, because the first time we were watching it, I saw a moment of, like, oh, he's back. Yay.
Well, yes, that was he's back. He's the one I've been stressing out about. Like, I can't believe I lost him. He was a great thing, and I lost him because I lost my virginity. But also in the back of her head, it's like, if Avery's around, and if I could have Avery over him, I would probably just choose Avery.
It's like when you're on a diet, and Taco Bell's calling your name, and you know you have the salad, but you keep eating Taco Bell. It's like, damn it, go away, Taco Bell. Avery's a Taco Bell.
Oh. Jason, you're hungry tonight.
I'm so hungry
right
now.
Keep referencing food.
Because I think that April still has it hard for Avery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I love how you didn't think that at the beginning.
Right.
And I was right.
You were right. My bad.
Avery still has it for her, too. I mean, Dr. Stephanie wasn't around at all this episode, so we weren't able to see where his heart is or is not. He's still into her.
Yeah. Exactly, just like Karev is into Joe.
Oh, yeah, that took some major leaps tonight. Joe said she's moving in.
With Dr. Jason Meyer.
With baby doctor.
With pink scrubs. I can't with the pink scrubs.
Can we get him a purple scrub?
Or science.
I like men in purple.
I really can't do the pink scrubs. I really can't do his attitude, though.
Ooh.
I think his attitude came from... It's stemming from testosterone between him and Avery. I mean, him and Karev, first of all. And secondly, though, he doesn't really know Joe. He probably thinks that Joe's just another girl. You know, we're getting to know each other. He doesn't know her backstory until Karev dumps it on him.
In an accidental move. Karev was not trying to be a jerk this time.
No, he wasn't. And that always, his mouth always splits him up
trouble.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
With Izzy. With Meredith. With Yang. I mean, Karev is the bearer of bad news at the wrong time.
Yes. But Joe was incredibly furious. She hadn't told him any of this stuff about herself.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to move in with this guy, don't you open up a little bit about your life?
I agree.
If she opened up to Karev and they weren't even dating, why would she? They were just friends. So why would you open up to just a friend and not the one that you're going to?
Yeah, this is completely unhealthy.
I don't like Joe for that, because Joe has been coming. Her character has been coming across as a dumb, stupid girl.
Yeah.
The last three episodes.
It's true.
Right. She's like, giddy, Google eyes, and say, like, this is dumb. It's like, Joe, you're a doctor. But emotions go out the window when you have feelings for somebody. I get it.
Sure.
But just the way she's been portraying herself, like, the way she came off so insecure telling off Karev, turned me off completely to her now.
Yeah, but...
I know, yeah. And she said she wanted a fresh start. But still, there's a point in a relationship where you don't get a fresh start. Like, you know each other. You have to tell each other your past.
Right.
Exactly. So. And Joe, I mean, Joe, in my opinion, her character was getting boring for a while. And then now that she's kind of moving in with this guy, they're trying to spice up her character, but I'm kind of over it. Like, either her and Karev are going to get together or they're not, you know? And, like, when is that going to happen? We only have four episodes to keep carrying this story on.
I don't think it's going to.
I think it is this season.
We're getting to see Karev. One of the things I like about Karev and his character is because they always make us hate him and then make us love him again. Because he's like the silver lining. You know, he's like the guy that you're like, oh, you're so douchey. but I like you. You know, at the end of the day, you're a good guy. You just have to dig through all that, peel it away, and there's a heart of gold. And tonight at the end, when he's sitting with Christina, which was another great Grey's moment, because Christina welcomed him as Meredith would welcome her into the bed.
Yeah. And she's like, she was like, get over here.
Begrudgingly.
Like, give it a minute. And he's like, this feels weird. She's like, give it a minute.
Yeah, but it was really cute that he came over and, like, realized, like, wait, I am in love with Joe. And, you know, the reason... Yang basically was like, you're in love with her last episode that we saw. Like, you like her, you love her, so get over it. Like,
deal with it.
Deal with it. And so when he opened up to her, she was like, what am I right about? Like, I don't even remember because I don't even care about your life.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised he just is now noticing this.
Yeah.
Because he's known that he's had feelings for her, but I guess this is the first time he realized he's in love with her.
You know, I'm really glad they still have the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
The house, because so many wonderful moments have happened at that house.
I mean, the very first few moments of Grey's happened in that house.
They're not leaving that house. It was just like to get us.
You know, it's like a revolving door. And so, and you know, when that door opens and you're and they're standing in the door, there's always that face of like, oh, I'm in pain.
Grey's Anatomy.
You know, it's just that I hope the house is, when they wrap on the house in the final season, I'm going to cry. So, yeah, but Joe, I think.
See if we can go visit the set.
That'd be amazing. I think Joe.
How do we do that?
I'll make it happen.
Karev. You're on it. Joe and Karev, I don't particularly care for them anymore either, Star. I'm
really?
I'm
no,
with you.
I do. I don't like this move on Joe's part, but I do want to see them together. I mean, just a few moments where they've almost gotten together, either with the crying or the almost kissing or him coming to the bar, like, those moments are awesome. I think they have on-camera chemistry, and I want to see them together.
Yeah, we just need, like, some fun sex scenes with them, and then I'll be excited again.
I would say that this season, Bailey has been the most shocking from left field character. I'm going to tell you why. Because at the end of the episode, when she is, you know, they finally figure out that, yes, she had a, you know,
staph
infection that was like, you know, could eradicate humanity. but that the reason why there was the transmission of the infection was because of the low grade quality of the gloves.
From? Pegasus.
You know what?
Evil of all evils.
Mystical
evil
creature.
Incarnate.
Can they
Pegasus.
Sue Pegasus?
They probably could.
I think they will.
But wait, wasn't Pegasus going to be the name of their... No, that was a traveling company.
Pegasus. Pockets run deep, though, so those three families can have it them.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, you know, Bailey finally realizes that no one was in her corner.
Mm-hmm.
No one was in her corner, and especially the chief. And the conversation they have on the bench, another great place.
The chief was in her corner. He lied about the
right.
Why we have to keep this patient in this hospital and not take him to another hospital, even though the patient ended up dying. And he was just lying. He was saying one doctor has it. We didn't even really research if the hospital is clean and quarantined yet, you know. So she overheard, and she didn't let him really speak. But she did some low jabs when she started talking about Adele and like
alcoholism.
I defended you and you. You were
a drunk.
Yeah.
You were a drunk. But in Bailey's defense, though, I think, you know, I try to put myself in the character's shoes. And no, BTW, by the way.
BTW?
That bench has had some amazing
scenes.
Monologues as well.
Let's go visit the bench.
Be amazing. But Bailey really, it was so eerie and so, what's the word I'm looking for? Just very off-putting when she did hit below the belt when she did take those jabs, because it was like she was so done. She's like, I cannot believe you of all people. And she has stood by his side every season.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey has been the right hand man to the chief,
lying for him.
Sticking
up for him. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was just crazy when she kind of exploded.
And it gave like a glimpse into Bailey going bad. My mom always says, keep people nice, because the minute they go bad, they go bad.
Ooh.
And Bailey is one of those nice people, good-natured people that was like, this was the last straw.
I really feel like for her, though, she was taking out all these emotions from this whole entire staff quarantine thing on him right then in that moment.
Possibly, yes.
I don't think their relationship is doomed. I mean, once stuff like that is said, it can't be unsaid. Those are going to leave some deep emotional scars for him.
I don't think so, though. I think, you know, the chief...
Really? I think he thinks of Meredith and Bailey like his daughters.
The chief has said some pretty hateful things over the past two.
To Bailey?
He's done some stuff to Bailey. She didn't get... I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's for her own good, not being chief resident, you know, stuff like that. But over the course of their relationship and through Grey's, he's had his fair share of douchiness as well.
Still, I think that his feelings are going to be super hurt, but I don't think their relationship is scarred for good.
No, but I think this incident, Julie, ran deeper for Bailey because it was a personal attack on her. And it wasn't like... Bailey prides herself on being a world-class surgeon. We've seen flashbacks of when she had braids and the glasses and all these things that have made Bailey the surgeon that she is. She prides herself on being perfect. She said at the end of the surgery, and it was perfect. It was perfect because she knows she's that good.
I loved when she questioned him about the toothpaste. Did you put your cap on the toothpaste this morning? And it's like, yeah, I don't even remember what I did with the toothpaste this morning. So it's like, it's kind of hard when you're in that moment and you're really stressful about making sure you're doing the perfect surgery and you do it every day and day out and you just want to do your job good and well. And that's what she strives for. She even scrubs in while singing the Think song. And she does it for four minutes and 32 seconds.
You better think.
I like that part. That was cute.
You know, so I think Bailey felt, she felt not betrayed, but just abandoned in the worst way.
Yeah.
In the worst way by the people who mattered the most to her. And even watching the episode, I felt that too. All these doctors, there's a way to do things. Yes, okay, fine. It's like a level 4 lockdown. You know, there's a super flu that's like 99% communication rate of infection to everyone. But these are your people. You know, you're supposed to stick together, and all the 5 doctors that were her bosses really just kind of
not Meredith. Meredith kept trying to sneak over and talk to her.
Right.
Well, yeah, Meredith is always like the really nice one sometimes when she wants to be, especially towards Bailey. She loves Bailey.
Yeah.
So but didn't shun her.
Well, Meredith's the one that everybody in the hospital likes, besides her interns, of course.
Mm, yeah.
But I really feel like poor Bailey was just lashing out. She didn't hear Richard defend her behind her back. She only heard him betray her behind her back.
Yeah. So we'll hopefully that relationship will be mended and all will be well at the hospital. But
the good news is it was all Pegasus' fault.
Mm.
Bailey, probably her career is not over because for a second there, I thought they were going to take us there.
No.
I thought they might take us to the place where the best doctor had accidentally killed people.
But you know what? Her career emotionally is kind of over because she feels like she killed people. She says, yeah. I killed those people. And in previews, we see that she still thinks that. So who knows? I'm glad, though. I love when they give Bailey a heavy storyline because she can carry it. Mm-hmm. Bailey can carry it. And I'm excited to see what else comes in the next, three episodes
three
of Grey's?
Episodes.
Because word on the street is this season finale is going to rock our socks.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of, maybe we should move on.
Let's move on to your predictions.
News and gossip.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So we'll do predictions first before news and gossip because we're right in the middle of, you know, something that's really, really heavy. What are your predictions for the Bailey storyline and for the rest of the season?
Okay, well, for the Bailey storyline, I really feel like this is going to be something similar to whenever Derek killed the blonde lady.
Jennifer.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be something similar to that.
You
like
killed her, my wife.
Inner turmoil, torturing herself, has to get past it. Another prediction, I feel like craziness might ensue, and Owen potentially might become the father of this kid.
I'm with you on that one.
Maybe even battling Grandma that we just talked to.
And Christina.
Yes. Well, I mean, Owen and Christina were always going to break up over this issue, but it might be sooner than we thought, and it might be with a full-grown kid. More than we expected.
Start.
Yeah, I'm definitely on your bandwagon. I think Bailey's not going to want to come back to work. And if she is at work, she's just not going to really want to speak to anyone. And it's going to be the standoff Bailey that we kind of like.
Yeah.
The bitchy Bailey. Oh, I can't say that. And then...
I said douchey.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I think I even said that.
And then the kid... is a great actor, and we know that Jennifer, the grandma, is going to be staying on for another episode.
It's like 4.
There's going to be 3 episodes. So today was 1, 2nd, then 3rd. So maybe her storyline will get extended, but I definitely think that Owen is going to fight and battle for this child, and the grandma's just too old, and she's not going to be able to take the child. And then we're going to have a new kid on the scene. Week after week.
I think you guys are both right on the money. I do think that Owen, that the kid's going to be a really, really, really big life-changing event for Owen. I also think that Bailey is going to maybe go a little AWOL.
Yeah, she is.
Going to go a little AWOL. And I don't think that Meredith is going to give birth and poop on the table.
I do think that we will see Alex get together with Joe this season. And I do think that we will see potentially an April Avery thing. This season two, in the next four episodes.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, also, news and gossip.
Yes, we do have quite a bit of news and gossip because it's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
You want to go first, Jason, or you want me to?
You can go first.
Okay. Wow, there is so much. It's been a really, really big couple of weeks for Shonda. First of all, she was voted one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world.
Believe it.
And the article was written by Oprah. Talked about the doors that she'd opened, the ways that she just smashed the stereotype for what doctors and ambitious people should look like.
I was just talking about how Shonda and Oprah
I know. That's why Shonda tweeted that morning, ugly cry. You're like on a wavelength with her right now. Dude. Also, she has been invited to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Moving on up in the world. And also, Taylor Swift tweeted about watching Grey's Anatomy. And lastly, some finale spoilers you guys have probably read online. There's going to be a superstorm similar to Sandy.
That's going to be coming in for the finale?
Yes.
Ooh, so maybe there's going to be some power outages and some drama. Heard that was,
no. I don't know how they're going to fit in an explosion with a superstorm, but whatever it is.
See, I'm not feeling that. I want, like, car wrecks, mangled.
It's going to be like that. All that drama is going to happen. It's just not a car wreck.
I do think we are losing some interns in this superstorm.
Maybe
explosion.
Joe.
No.
Ooh.
All right, Jay, what'd you got?
Fighting words.
Well, news. We will be having some of the stars come back on the show. I'm not going to say who, but stay tuned because it's going to be really cool. And we love her to death. She's awesome. So be on the lookout for that. I'm real excited. It's like, coming down to the wire, you guys.
Yeah, last few episodes.
Right? 21 episodes in. What, 3 left?
Yeah. So our guest is going to be here next week.
Okay, check us out on Twitter.
Yeah, so you got us.
You got to tweet us for all the dirty details.
Come back for more because we're going to have more guests for you guys.
And we have learned some great insider tips from you guys, too. So please continue to send them over. We're all a team here.
Yes.
Yes, we are. Well, there you guys have it. Another smash hit wonder episode of the Grey's Anatomy After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Wow, the season's almost over. Love hosting with you guys. My girls, you guys are exquisite. Tell them where they can find you.
I'm Julie Parton. You can find me on Twitter at JULIEPARTIN.
Oh, yes. And I'm Star Session, and you can find me at StarrSession.
And I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever and also on Facebook. Until next time, you guys, be safe. We love you. See you next Thursday. Goodbye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.